In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
I want to share a little story about St. John of the Desert. St. John of the Desert was one of the Desert Fathers of the 4th century in Egypt. But before he became a monk, before he was even a believer, John lived in the great city of Alexandria. Christianity at the time was spreading like wildfire in the 4th century. And many of John's friends and his neighbors, his nemesis, his enemies, they were all becoming Christians, getting baptized and being sealed in the Holy Spirit. And one thing about these believers all around him drove John nuts. A certain aspect seemed somehow fake to him, somehow artificial, somehow contrived. He would later write, "What I despised as artificial was the perpetual happiness of these Christ followers. They were happy when things were good, and they were happy when things were bad. They were happy when it rained, and they were happy when there was a drought. They were happy when they were healthy, and they were happy when they were sick. They were happy when their bellies were full, and they were happy when their bellies were empty. They were happy when they were admired, and they were happy when they were disdained. This I found impossible," John wrote. Until he realized what he was seeing, what he was witnessing, was not happiness at all, but something far deeper. What John was witnessing was not happiness, but divine joy. In fact, his neighbor's happiness, as he observed, did in fact go up and down, just like anyone else. And so did their anger, and so did their grief, and so did all their other daily emotions. But they had an underlying joy that continued through the grief, and through the anger, and through the fear, and through the drought, and through the sickness. Joy somehow managed to be always present in these Christ followers. And when John came to discover that not only was this joy not artificial, but deeply real, and unbreakable, and enduring, and unaffected by outside circumstances, and that this joy didn't have to be conjured up by a person. It's not like these early Christ followers, as he called them, were somehow digging joy out from underneath and making it happen with some kind of internal effort. But instead it was simply something they received, something they tapped into, something that was given to them, and that it was available to all. Once John realized this, he wanted to know where he could get a hold of that. Today in the church, we are celebrating the great feast of Pentecost. 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, 10 days after he ascended into heaven, the promise that Jesus gave his disciples, that they would receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of true God in the form of tongues of fire, that promise is fulfilled. The Holy Spirit is given, and given not only to the disciples, but to the whole world, to anyone who wants God dwelling in them, this Holy Spirit is given. This same Holy Spirit that empowered a rather motley group of fishermen and political zealots and tax collectors, not to mention a few who had been demon-possessed, someone who had been married and divorced 5 times, empowered these people to evangelize an empire, to accept persecution, to stare down death, to endure Roman prisons multiple times, to even witness loved ones tortured, and somehow still be connected to that fountain of divine joy. And yes, certainly they would sorrow, and they would grieve, and they would be in pain, to be sure. Those things don't go away. But even when those things were happening, there was an undercurrent of that unshakable divine life and that unshakable and indelible divine love. The joy that remains unbroken again by outside circumstances, because God, who is love and life and joy, dwells in them in the person of the Holy Spirit. 300 years after the apostles, that same Holy Spirit that had filled their lives and that had filled the lives of John's neighbors and friends and acquaintances, that same Holy Spirit, John realized, was available. And when he could no longer deny the reality of what he was witnessing, John finally opened his heart to this great gift of God coming among us. The gift of the Holy Spirit literally living inside a person. And he gave himself to Jesus Christ and was baptized and was sealed in the Holy Spirit. Eventually he becomes a monk, lives in the desert wilderness well outside the city for the rest of his days. Now here we are, some 1,700 years after St. John of the Desert, 2,000 years after those original disciples. And we are still, all this time later, we are still able to be recipients of the same Holy Spirit, of the same gift of God dwelling in us. In our world in which we live, while in some ways drastically different, is in many, many ways remarkably similar to that of St. John's 4th century or the Apostles' 1st century. I mean, some things just don't change in human nature. We still have governments and armies, and we still have violence and betrayal. We still have illness and poverty and addiction and crime and prejudice, just like they all did. And we also have music and beauty and family and neighbors and babies, and we have nature and majesty and holiness and art and peace and gentleness and love, just like they did. It's that kind of stuff is always going to be the same. And like the world that St. John didn't at first understand, things like happiness and grief and anger and fear, they're going to come and go. They're going to come and go with our daily circumstances, just like they do with anyone. But running through all that, running through all those circumstances, is an indelible divine joy. The fruit of the Spirit, second only to love. A joy that doesn't have to be conjured up, but simply received, simply tapped into, simply accepted. A joy unaffected by outside circumstances, because it is enduring and unbreakable and real. Because it is a fruit not of ourselves and our own efforts, nor of the fortunes of this world, but is a fruit of the Holy Spirit dwelling within. Amen.
Amen.